Well, good morning, church family. Hasn't it been wonderful to hear how God is answering prayer and what the Lord is doing? And we praise His name for that. And now we come to, I guess, many of us would think the greatest time of all, when we can just seek to sit at Jesus' feet and to listen to His Word. So welcome to the Word, and if you have a Bible with you, please turn to a very well-known passage in Luke chapter 15, where Jesus tells a story about a father who had two sons. You know it so well, but I'm asking God by His Spirit to just bring it to us in a new way this morning as we consider from this passage and from other scriptures, but mainly from this passage, that sad and sinking feeling of alienation as we continue in our series of Dealing with Your Feelings the Bible Way. Helmut Tickleker says this parable ought to be called The Waiting Father, because really the emphasis is not so much on the lads, but on their loving father. And that's where our emphasis is today. And so we're in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Then he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home,'" — never sure how he knew that — "'you killed a fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Have you ever felt alienated? Have you ever felt loneliness? Have you ever felt abandoned? Have you ever felt unwanted? Have you ever felt like an orphan, even though you're not an orphan, really? Do you ever feel like you're battling against a sad and sinking feeling in your heart? Well, then join the group. You're in good company. Some of God's greatest people have struggled with feelings like that. No one ever suffered a greater feeling of absolute alienation and sadness than Jesus did, our sin bearer and substitute. When he was dying on the cross, the whole world turned black, and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And have you ever noticed how much the heart of God goes out to the alien, the orphan, the widow, the downcast? If you feel like your spirit is clothed in sackcloth and ashes sometimes, rest assured, my friend, the Bible has your address. The psalmist describes his own sorry feelings again and again. Here are a few examples. My soul is in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. My body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish and my years with groaning. I have become like broken pottery. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? To say nothing of God's weeping prophet, Jeremiah, who said, my eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment. My heart is poured out on the ground. My soul is downcast within me. Yes, of course, there's always a reason for our feelings, but our feelings are real nonetheless, aren't they? Have you ever, or have you never, felt lonely, though you're not alone? Sad on the inside, although all seems well on the outside. Like an alien, though you're surrounded by caring people. Like an orphan, though you have or had parents who brought you into the world. Have you ever felt impoverished, even though you have adequate food and shelter and clothing? You see, here's the point. It is possible to have all that you need to keep body and soul together, and yet still, deep down inside, feel victimized by feelings of alienation, struggle with an uncanny sadness deep within. It's possible to feel like an orphan, even if you're not one. So Jesus tells a famous parable here that illustrates the point. A father had two sons. He loved them both with all his heart. He couldn't have loved them more. He loved them so much that he had already bequeathed to them everything he had, all of his considerable property and wealth was already ceded to them. All he wanted in return was a love relationship with his boys. Like any true father, he wanted most of all in his life, not his money and his possessions, but the joy of communion with his sons, their love, their fellowship, their respect, to share in their lives and be a blessing to them both. Everything he had was theirs. They were his pride and joy, his reason for living. But the younger son chose to live as though he were an orphan. He abandoned his father's love for his own lust. The older son chose to live like a slave. He abandoned a love relationship with his father for his own mission of law. The younger son wanted a life without rules. The older, a life made up only of rules. They had all the rights of sons. The father's riches were theirs. Best of all, the Father's unconditional love was theirs. Yet the one displayed an orphan's heart, and the other displayed a slave's heart. One chose to serve self, the other chose to serve the rule book. Now I hate to admit it, my friends, but sometimes I have fallen into both traps. And the result is a sinking feeling of alienation and sadness. I wonder if anyone else can identify with me as we just flesh out a little and look at the characteristics or the traits of an orphan heart and a spirit of slavery. We all as Christians need a servant heart, but there's a very real difference between a servant heart and a demeaning spirit of slavery. A servant heart delights to serve. A spirit of slavery finds service to God and others a duty. A duty that is often a duty of demeaning drudgery. Crucial in the contrast for us as Christians is our understanding of what God is really like. Author and pastor Jack Frost helps us here. Listen carefully and use this as a checklist for your own life this morning. The slave spirit sees God as a taskmaster, ready to kind of pounce on us and punish us for our failures. The spirit of sonship sees God as a gracious and loving father who treats his children like the apple of his eye. The slave spirit lives by the love of law. The spirit of sonship lives by the law of love. The slave spirit values performance and obedience over relationships. The spirit of sonship values relationship way more highly than performance. The slave spirit ticks all the boxes, dots all the I's, and crosses all the T's. The spirit of sonship revels in mercy, is never fazed by mistakes, is grieved only by sins. The spirit of slavery is motivated by achievement. The spirit of sonship is motivated by love and generosity and compassion. The slave spirit is concerned with one's duties. The spirit of sonship is concerned with adding value and joy to the lives of others. The spirit of slavery is critical, always on the lookout for the faults of others and quick to point them out. The spirit of sonship loves to affirm others, encourage others, overlook their faults, and rejoices in their successes. The spirit of slavery cannot stand authority because it wants control. The spirit of sonship is teachable and submissive. To the slave spirit, God is distant and conditional. To the sonship spirit, God is near and in fact adorable. He is our Abba, Father. To the spirit of sonship, God is our dear, dear Father. So little wonder if we have a spirit of slavery, we will also be plagued from time to time, anyway, by those sad and sinking feelings. of alienation. The Holy Spirit is grieved by a spirit of slavery in God's people. For it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. And this is what Paul says to the Christians of Galatia. You have received the full rights of sons. Because you are God's sons, God sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts. And that Spirit cries out, Abba, Abba, dear, dear Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir, a joint heir with Christ. And just the same if we have an orphan heart, like the younger son in Jesus' story. The orphan heart makes God distant, uncaring, unlovable. The orphan heart makes a Christian insecure, uncertain, independent, isolated, distrustful. That's a recipe for a sad and sinking feeling. Oh, beloved, let the Father's loving embrace displace that orphan heart this morning. And let Christ, the Liberator, set you free this morning from a spirit of slavery. Set you free into the fullness of the Father's love. So let's face this feeling of a downcast spirit squarely then and try to find out why it's there and how the Bible would have us respond to sad and sinking feelings of alienation. The first thing we always have to do as Christians is to ask ourselves this question: is there a sin that I have committed or am committing that is responsible for me feeling this way deep inside my heart? Alienated, downcast, lonely inside, sad in my spirit. Is this the Holy Spirit's way of bringing my own misdemeanors to the fore? Have I sinned against the Lord in some thought or word or deed? Have I grieved the Holy Spirit in some way? Is there something I need to put right with another person whom I have defrauded or offended? I must always search my own heart first if I am feeling diminished and sad. The good news is that my sins can always be dealt with if I take them to the cross. If I take them to the Lord with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and in repentance. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Secondly, I then need to ask myself some other questions, some leading questions. Listen carefully, this is what they are. Am I too independent? Am I too self-sufficient? Do I fear rejection if I'm honest about my feelings? Will I be thought unspiritual by my Christian friends if I tell them what I'm actually feeling deep down inside my heart? Am I too proud to admit that I often battle with a spirit of sadness, despair, alienation, that I feel like an orphan even though I'm not one? Am I avoiding the fellowship of others? Am I avoiding the counsel of others? And very basically, am I doing my part by watching the basics of good exercise, good diet, and good sleep? check out the practical, real things first. On the positive side, is there a strategy that I need to develop? If I'm honest with myself, and deep inside me often, there are those sad and lonely feelings of isolation and a bit of heartache, a bit of a downcast spirit. Is there a strategy that I need to live by, or perhaps develop for the first time? And the good news is, yes, there is. Praise the Lord. Here is the strategy that the Word of God gives to us all. Here's how I deal with that sad and sinking feeling of alienation and a depressed spirit. Number one, saturate your soul with the promises of God. Saturate your soul with the promises of God. Here are a few I like. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Psalm 18:28. You turn my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Psalm 30, verse 11. The Lord Himself is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disquieted within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 42, verse 5. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. Psalm 68, verse 5. He bestows a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of a sorrowful heart, the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness and despair. Isaiah 61, 3. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I receive your promises in Jesus' name, and in them I soak my soul every day. Secondly, take it to the Lord in prayer. Tell God exactly how you feel. He knows it anyway. Embrace the friendship of Jesus and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. After all, He's not called the Comforter for nothing. Say with the psalmist, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him and Him alone. Psalm 62. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. That hymn was written by Joseph Scriven. It was written 150 years ago. Joseph Scriven was an ordinary Christian like you and me. His fiancée died in an accidental drowning the day before they were due to be married. Years later, his mother was desperately ill. He was in Canada, his wife was in Ireland. There was no way he could get there. And so he sent her a letter. And with that letter, he enclosed a poem that he had written for her. Years later, when he was desperately ill, a friend came in and saw a piece of paper at Joseph Scriven's bedside. And he looked at it and said, what is that? And he said, oh, it's just a poem I wrote for my mother. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And so, from a friend to a friend it went. And today we still sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. The way I deal with my downcast feelings is to soak my soul in the promises of God and to take everything to God in prayer. And thirdly, be active in the congregation of believers. Make sure that you're part of a support group. Make sure that you're part of a fellowship. Learn to express your feelings in a healthy way. Be humble enough to receive prayer and encouragement from your brothers and sisters in the family of God. Don't be isolationist. Don't be independent. Don't be autonomous. Those things will produce sinking feelings of alienation in the end. Fourthly, beware of becoming too introspective. A downward spiral of emotions can occur if we spend too much time fellowshipping with our own feelings, our feelings of sadness in particular. Don't do that for too long, or you'll move from sadness into depression. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, wherever lives, to pray for you. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not yourself or your feelings. And then fifthly and finally, make sure you're living in the freedom of forgiveness. Nothing will produce that sad and sinking feeling of alienation and a sorrowful spirit like bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness. As Dr. Cullinan puts it, you will stay stuck in pits of your own making if you do not release your grudges and live in the freedom that only forgiveness can deliver. Amen? You will stay stuck in pits of your own making if you do not release your grudges and live in the freedom that only forgiveness can deliver. This is how we conquer those sad and sinking feelings of alienation the Bible way. You don't have to live with an orphan heart. You don't have to live with a spirit of slavery. The God who made you is the God who can restore you to the full rights and enjoyment of sonship. It is your birthright as a believer in Jesus. As Blaise Pascal pointed out, and I quote, "Within us all is this infinite abyss that can be filled only with the infinite God himself." Within us all is this infinite abyss that can be filled only with the infinite God himself. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen. May the joy of the Lord be your strength today and every day until the Lord Jesus himself presents you to the Father with indescribable joy. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that in the Lord Jesus we have the answer to our every need. Help us then every day to saturate our souls in the promises of God, to take all our feelings and all our burdens and all our heartaches and all our petitions to the Lord in prayer, and to be active in the congregation of your people, serving at the point of our giftedness, for we have learned that we're in our element when we're in our gifting. Help us to beware of becoming too introspective. And grant that we may daily make sure that we're living in the freedom of forgiveness. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to live with an orphan heart like the younger boy. Thank you that we don't have to live with a kind of spirit of slavery like the older boy. Thank you that we have right now a waiting, loving Father who longs to embrace us, set us gloriously free, and fill us with joy. Amen.